Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Grace Hour. We've been talking all week about heaven. Some of you may have thought that your vacation for the 4th was heaven, but this is something greater. So we're in studio today. I'm Pastor Rinaldo. I'm in studio with Pastor Stephen Schiavelli, and we're talking about heaven. Specifically, we're talking about rewards in heaven. You say, Pastor, I'm in it for the rewards. We're going to find out what those rewards are today. You can call with your questions and comments, and we'd love to hear from you here on the Grace Hour, locally at 410-483-3700, internationally at 1-800-338-7060. You can also write in questions, comments, and also just say hello. You can email us at questions@gracehour.org, and you can also find us on YouTube and Facebook Live, and you can write in your comments and questions and greetings. We would love to hear from you, how the program is helping you, how it's a blessing in your life. Talk back to us. We'd love to hear from you. And you can catch us on podcasts. We're not just radio anymore. You can catch us on podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music. You can tune in and you can get updates to let you know when we're on the air. You can join us and we can be together in the Bible, thinking with God. So today we begin with rewards, Pastor Schiavelli. Heaven and rewards.
Yes. John 19. I want to read verses 1 and 2 of John 19. The Gospel of John. That's a reward. The Bible's a reward. The Spirit's a reward. Imagine God gave us the person of the Holy Spirit, and then he gave us the Bible, which the Holy Spirit wrote.
Uh-huh.
Talk about rewards given to us as human beings. He didn't give it to ants. He didn't give it to a wolf in the woods. He didn't give it to a chipmunk or a monkey. He gave it to human beings. It's amazing. It says, chapter 19, verse 1.
Yes.
Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers placed a crown of thorns,
mm-hmm,
and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him, mm-hmm, with their hands. Now, this is something very interesting in regards to crowns.
Okay.
I studied the doctrine of crowns this morning and through the Bible, and it was a great time I had in the Word with that. And by the way, like I want to make one statement. Like, if somebody says I'm in it for the rewards,
sure,
that's a problem for me.
Okay.
I mean, I wonder what that even means, you know? I'm only in it for the rewards. I think God is in me,
uh-huh,
and I am in Christ,
yes,
and I'm in it for the relationship.
Beautiful.
Not for the rewards. If I'm in it for the rewards and I don't care about the relationship,
mm-hmm,
then I will somehow be motivated to produce rewards that really maybe not even from God.
Transactional.
And there's a, yes, problem. So I'm not in it for the rewards. I'm in it because he is in me.
Mm-hmm.
And God became a man and he's in it.
Yep.
He's in it to reveal his glory and to also give me that glory. So,
amen,
these crowns are very important. And we see the first one is, first of all, even the possibility of having crowns does not come unless we have John 19, verse 2, that he was crowned with thorns.
Mm-hmm.
And I relate that to the finished work and his death on the cross, the shedding of blood, redemption, propitiation, reconciliation,
mm-hmm,
the blood, and that is so key. So without that taking place, well, what is there for anybody,
yes,
at all? So let's think about these seven crowns in the scriptures.
Okay.
The first one is Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. So before I even think about receiving crowns or rewards, Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. So if I do not glorify God with my life and honor God with my life, there will be no crowns. There'll be no rewards. Because my life is just glorifying me and glorifying a denomination or glorifying and honor something other than Jesus himself. It says Jesus was crowned. First of all, you don't get crowned with glory and honor unless you first get crowned with the crown of thorns. So the crown of thorns, and of course he had glory and honor before he came to earth, before he became the God-man. But he took back something unique to heaven, which was perfect humanity. So we have the crown of glory and honor. And that's in Hebrews 2, 7 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
The second crown is a crown of life, James 1, verse 12. That crown of life is given to those who are able to endure and withstand and stand against and be able to have a provision from God in the midst of a test, a trial, or a temptation.
Mm.
Very clear from James 1:12 that that crown of life is given for those who endure the test, the trial, and temptations that are initiated towards them. The next crown is a crown of discipleship. Now, many people, I've read some things about the crowns, and they somehow don't put this one in there. But if you read the verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it talks about discipleship and striving lawfully and receiving a crown. So that's a crown of discipleship. Paul is talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, all about discipleship. Mm-hmm. It really is a great portion on discipleship. So the crown that you receive, because you're a disciple, you're a learning one, you're one that's operating in the plan of God and the purpose of God. The next crown is a soul winner's crown, and that's 1 Thessalonians 2:19. It's a crown of rejoicing over souls that are won. And this is so key. You find many churches today, many Christians really do not have any idea about what this is all about. And certainly they understand it in somewhat of a measure, but personally, a soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing. The next one, 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, is the incorruptible crown. That's for running the race and fighting the fight of the gospel.
Mm.
Paul says it's not a corruptible crown. It's an incorruptible crown. That this Christianity is a race and a fight. A lot of people just want to slide through Christianity
mm-hmm.
on a nice pillow, a nice silky pillow that they can lie down on and remain on a bed. And it's not a bed of righteousness. It's just their own bed. And they want nothing to do at all with a race and a fight. When you say the word race and fight, people run away. If you say it too often in the church, people don't come anymore. Mm. They don't want to hear about that.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, many do, but a lot do not.
Sure.
That's why churches really don't have an effect today, because they're not in a race and they're not in a fight. The next crown is the crown for a shepherd, a pastor's crown. 1 Peter 5:4 is called the crown of glory.
Yes.
It's given to the pastor or the shepherd. Peter speaks about that. The last crown, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, is a crown of righteousness because mm-hmm. you finished the race and the fight. And I think this one is related directly to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 crown that we spoke about, mm-hmm. the incorruptible crown.
Mm-hmm.
It was for a race and a fight. And this one, Paul says, as he speaks, there's given to me a crown of righteousness. Why? Because I fought a good fight. Mm-hmm. I finished my course, my race, and I kept the faith.
Mm.
Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not just for me only, but all those who love his appearing. So as we consider these thoughts today, this doctrine of rewards and crowns, thank God. You say, well, I'm not in it for the crowns. Well, I'm not saying that I'm in it for the crowns or to get the rewards, but I believe that a Holy Spirit life with the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the grace of God as a source, these crowns will just be there. They will be given because the outcoming or the fruit of grace, the Word, and the church and the finished work are all crowns, all going to be crowns.
Mm-hmm.
The crown of glory and honor, the crown of life, the discipleship crown, the soul winner's crown, the incorruptible crown for the race and the fight, the crown for a pastor, and the crown of righteousness. And it certainly is better to receive this than to be crowned by the devil. You know, there used to be an expression years ago, like, I'd like to just crown that person, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Meant to hurt them or a fight of some type.
Yes.
So who wants to be crowned by the enemy when we could receive the crowns mm-hmm. of God himself? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And don't crown your neighbor. That's assault. So avoid that. I love this topic, Pastor Belly, in the sense because it's not taught. It's not Mm-mm. it's not universal. When's the last time you heard a message about rewards in heaven?
No, not often.
And there's a lot of people, some of our listeners who maybe are new believers or not even believers, but listen to our program. There are a lot of believers who are going to ask the question, okay, who receive rewards in heaven? Who gets the rewards and how do they get it? How is it judged or decided?
Well, that's Jesus Christ, because he understands the motivation.
Okay.
Okay. It's not always based upon what we would see outwardly, you know, but it is based upon Christ motivating a person. And maybe a person gives two mites, and Jesus says, she's done more than all of them.
Wow.
She's done more than all of them, because he knows the heart and the motivation and what the resources are of that person and the expression of the faith that they're giving towards God in that. So he would be the one who would know the source and the motivation and what's taking place. Some people could even do something more outwardly. They could just give all kinds of money.
Sure.
And it might be not all that they have left, but it might be like an excess of some type, whatnot. And God would know really whether that's coming from the heart or not, whether that's from the heart of God. And so God is the one who initiates the word of God, the spirit of God, the body of Christ, the grace of God, the finished work, his very life. And then he knows, as I receive it, am I operating in what I'm receiving? And this is such a key. How many people have received, when they are born again, the person of the Holy Spirit? You're not born again unless you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens with the person of the Holy Spirit? Do I operate in the spiritual life, or do I just operate in normal humanity with some kind of religious phraseology attached to it, and then say that, you know, this is something great that's taking place? God knows, and God gives the crowns. So you might see somebody, it could be somebody who you think outwardly they're going to get incredible crowns and rewards, and they get nothing.
Wow.
Nothing happens. And then you'll see somebody else, based upon your human evaluation, you said they did very little, but God knows what they did was what they could do and what they had in their possession to give, and so he gives them a great, incredible crown.
Wow.
So it's all based on God.
So you're saying, so what I'm getting from you is that everyone that goes to heaven gets a reward of some measure. Can we say that? Or is there some believers that will go to heaven and get no rewards?
Well, there'll be some people that will be ashamed at the Bema seat.
Okay.
What does that mean?
That's a good question.
Yeah. In other words, he's giving out, it's gold, silver, and precious stones.
Right.
Gold speaks of divinity, silver, redemption, precious stones. Souls one in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Then the other people get wood, hay, and stubble. So yeah, everybody gets a reward, but it might be wood, hay, and stubble, right?
Okay, so they all get rewards, and you're saying that the rewards are decided based upon their life in the spirit with God on the earth.
Yes. In other words, what I receive from God and what I operate in. Obviously, if I didn't receive, like say I do not receive the gift of pastoring or leadership, well, there's not going to be a reward. I'm expecting a reward for that, but I never received it from God. Okay?
Interesting.
I never received that gift from God to be a shepherd. Mm. It's a gift given by God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Now, if I am going to be operating as a pastor and it's through the motivation of my own self or for reward or for authority or for power or for some purpose that's other than God, there is no reward.
Wow.
You could be pastoring 50 years and you get nothing for it because God never wanted you to do that.
Wow.
In other words, like I think we see stories of missionaries in the church age, they went out. And if Adoniram and Justin had remained the pastor of the Park Street Baptist Church in Boston, he would have gotten no reward for that. God wanted him in Burma.
Even though he was pastoring.
He was pastoring, if God's purpose is to remove him from pastoring and bring him to Burma as a missionary, evangelist.
Yes.
And eventually he would pastor there also.
Yes.
But if he remained where he was, all those years, he spent 37 years in Burma. Then those 37 years in Boston would have got nothing from God.
Wow.
But people don't like that when you say that sometimes.
That's shocking,
they don't
actually
like that, because I need to be led by God, led by the Spirit, under the authority of God, under the authority of the local church, so that what I'm doing is from God.
Yeah.
Like put it like this. I was a very fruitful in the ministry of dealing with addictions.
Sure.
I had homes for addicts. Mm-hmm. I dealt with addictions day and night, my brother and I.
Yep.
We were in a counseling center called the Lifehouse Counseling Center, the Lifehouse Christian Home.
Mm-hmm.
And when God said to me, Africa, if I had done that home and that ministry for the next 30 years, 20 years, no reward.
Even though you had fruit on earth in Springfield.
In it.
Wow.
At the time. But God now changes.
Okay.
And he's leading me in another purpose. Mm-hmm. So now if I'm out of the purpose of God, are you trying to tell me? And I know you're not, but are people trying to tell me that I'll get a reward for that when it's not God's purpose for me to be there anymore? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. God's moved on.
Wow.
And I haven't moved with God.
That's
a great
place.
That can be painful for people.
Well, you said a good point. God has moved on, and I haven't moved on with God because maybe I don't hear from God. Maybe I assume that God has spoken and that's the end, you know?
Yeah, maybe it's too challenging. I think that I could never do that. Well, God never said you should do that. He said he'll do it in you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So does Paul remain in Jerusalem, or does he go into the mission field?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he got converted, and I think God allowed the purpose for him to be actually driven out by the apostles because
mm-hmm.
they were a little bit afraid of him, mm-hmm. and so wasn't the church in Jerusalem because of what he had done before.
Rightfully so.
And that sent him into three missionary journeys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what if he had just stayed in Jerusalem and become an elder in the church there? I don't believe he would have gotten any rewards.
Let's extend that. Then he goes to Antioch. What if God says, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul, and he stays in Antioch?
No rewards.
Wow.
And you're in Antioch without rewards. You say, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to listen to the show today. Why? Because I could be sitting in my self-induced plan.
Yep.
Walking in the light of my
self-made fires.
Fire. And then always encouraging other people that I'm doing this. Yeah. You know, somehow that can happen. You can be out of the will of God, but because you want to be out of the will of God,
yeah.
and you know it's not God's will,
yeah.
but you won't take the step. So you're always looking for encouragement to be in the thing that you're doing that's not from God.
Wow.
And therefore, you've got to talk to people about it and say, oh, it's just been great doing what I'm doing here, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And whatnot, and maybe it's not even God's will. I don't know. Everybody's got to stand before God.
Mm-hmm.
To their own master, they stand or fall.
Right.
I don't sit back and try to figure out what people should be doing.
Sure.
I'm having enough of a struggle in my own life to figure out what I should be doing.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, rather than I can't be thinking about what you should be doing or what Seb should be doing or what somebody listening audience should be doing, I want to walk with God and let them stand before their own master.
Sure.
To their own master, they stand or fall. Not me. I'm not their master.
Amen.
You know, and it's so important. Like, say you're supposed to be, I was talking to a person today, you're supposed to be in Asia or in China or something, and you don't go, and you just stay situated in the United States. Well, I am here to tell you, if it's not God's will, there is no reward.
Wow.
There is no crown for that. And I don't care how many good things you do. If Paul did a lot of good things in Antioch
mm-hmm.
and just stayed there for 50 years, you know, and became just an old man in Antioch, you know,
yeah, yeah.
and whatnot, and it wasn't God's will, then I'm sorry.
Mm.
I can't believe that there would be any reward for that.
So it seems that the rewards are connected directly to the will of God.
Absolutely.
So Absolutely. We're talking heaven here on the Grace Hour. We're
heaven.
Talking rewards in heaven, and we're talking about the life I live on the earth directly impacts my relationship with God as far as rewards go in heaven.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 410-483-3700 locally and internationally at 1-800-338-7060. And you can send your comments and questions to us here at the Grace Hour and questions at gracehour.org or also Facebook Live or YouTube Live. You can write in. There's a few comments here already. Kia Queen says amen to the message you spoke earlier. Tess Flores says, thanks be to God. I'm still loaded with all the meaty messages shared from the convention. It's like God is saying, I'm shaping you down here so you'll fit up there in heaven. I'm so grateful for GGWO as my home base, teaching categorical sound doctrine. Though I live here in Malmo, Sweden, growing, having faith rest in God's grace daily. Regards.
How about this thought? Rewards on earth.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We know about the heavenly rewards and the crowns and all that. But he says in Matthew chapter 6 about the Pharisees.
Yes.
They do things. They have their reward. In other words, they do things openly just to get the praise of man. And the praise of man, you have your reward, praising yourself or having others praise you. But he says that which is done in secret.
Okay.
This is so key. So we're doing things in secret on the earth, and God will reward you openly. Look at the reward of being led by God, the reward of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and just the reward of so many things that God will do for us even here, souls that are won, the rewards that we have. And so often we always think about reward as far as in many people's minds is some kind of financial remuneration, you know.
Well, promotion. We always see it like God is blessing me. And it's always interesting. Blessing is always visual, and it's also usually materialistic. I'm blessed by God because of what I've received.
And the word doesn't even mean that.
Yeah. But this is how we see it.
Yeah, this is how we see it. Right. But that doesn't mean that we're blind in that area. How about this one? The word blessing means is the word eulogeo.
Yes.
Well spoken of by God. In other words, God is speaking well about me. I'd rather have God speaking well about me than God giving me things. What if God gave me things but didn't speak well of me?
Wow.
I mean, I'd rather have God speaking well of me, and if I get nothing, I get nothing. Okay? I have him, correct?
No, we don't see it that way.
No, we don't. Because we're human beings.
Yes.
And we have an old sin nature. And we think in a worldly way sometimes about these kind of things. We have to make sure that we jump to the realm of the spiritual in all these words and all these areas, because it's so different.
Yeah.
It's so different than how man thinks. I mean, how man thinks. She gave two mites.
Yeah.
The widow's mite.
Where's the blessing in that? Where's the reward in that?
Yeah, people could have even mocked her.
Yeah.
How about when the woman anointed Jesus' body?
Yes.
And they said, we could have sold this and given it to the poor.
Be responsible.
Yeah, be responsible. No, she was anointing the body. By the way, I have something to say about that.
Okay.
When what you do on the body has far more value than what you do towards anything else.
Say more to that. Say more to that.
How I minister to the body, how I take what God has given me as gifts and use it in the body, building up people, loving people, helping people, ministering to people, teaching people, evangelizing with people, reading the Bible with people, all these different things, that has a great reward. And he's saying what she did, she did more than anybody could do. She anointed his body. Okay? She anointed his body. And look, she could have sold that, you know. And these are the disciples saying this. That shows you we all need to grow.
Yeah.
And they're looking at that and saying something about that. They're evaluating what God has done in her and through her with a human intention.
Let's park there for a second.
Park.
So she is the message to the believer of one another. 69 times in the New Testament, it talks about one another. And sometimes we have a ministry to every other, which is the world, and we ignore one another.
Yeah.
And from Galatians chapter 5, my every other begins with one another. If I'm not going to do something to the body, I can't go beyond the body.
Right. How about when relationships or family or marriages are there, but they have nothing to do with the body?
Interesting.
I wonder why some problems take place. I wonder why situations happen. Like God very clearly showed me many, many years ago. I think it was in probably 1977. Okay, that my marriage had to be a marriage that was in the church, in the body, that we would be members in particular.
Okay,
that the body, I wouldn't have a good marriage without the church.
Wow.
In other words, some people think they'll have a good marriage without the church. You are wrong, wrong, wrong.
But wait a minute. I got the books.
I don't care.
I got books. I went to seminars. I mean,
I don't
come
read
on.
Books.
Come on now.
I mean, the only Bible book I read on marriage is the Bible. The only book I read on marriage is the Bible. You know what? Other men have good ideas, but they take 500 pages to say three things. I haven't got time.
Okay.
I don't have time. Now, if you do and you like reading books, that's okay. It's not wrong.
Okay.
But I haven't got time for books. I got time for one book. I'm a one book man. Okay. So rewards.
Yes.
And the crowns and the rewards. And so God can give a reward for something that we would see as very insignificant.
Exactly.
We would think it's so, this is so insignificant. Think about the insignificant things that were done in the gospel mm-hmm. that people did. You know, a person praying,
yep.
okay, and that would seem like such an insignificant thing. This person just gave $5,000 to the church yep. for missions. And maybe they gave it from their flesh. Mm-hmm. Maybe, they, please, if you're going to give and the Holy Spirit motivates you, do it. Mm-hmm. But they're giving and it's not from God. And then somebody gives, you know, $2.
Yes.
And it's from the heart.
Yes.
That gets more reward than mm-hmm. the $5,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that?
Serving with love.
Yeah, because they do it. They're motivated by agape love. Mm-hmm. That's the motivation. And if the motivation is not God, then everything I do means nothing.
You know,
it means nothing to God, and it really does nothing for me.
Yes.
Maybe puffed me up in my own ability.
Yeah.
You know,
my own evaluations. And then when we stand and face God, Amos 4:12, we stand and face God, it's going to be shocking. The things that matter yeah. to God and the things that matter yeah. to me and the things that matter to me that I think are going to be the key to the rewards in heaven and on the earth. And God's like, I didn't even notice that. But this thing over here,
yeah.
this thing over here, Malachi 3:16, this thing you did in faith, this thing you did was the greatest thing you ever did in your life.
Without faith is what?
Sin. It's
impossible to please God.
Yes.
And it's all about rewards.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I remember – an instance that happened. I think I had been in Africa for a little bit of time, maybe a month or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And two people came to church.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing church, you know, like for like almost a month, having meetings,
yeah, yeah.
evangelizing and whatnot. And I thought to myself, like, this is ridiculous.
What am I doing?
What am I doing? I mean, back home, I had, you know,
yeah.
a church.
Yeah.
It was a church of 500 people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not that I was a pastor, but I was an assistant pastor. Yeah. I had a church in Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Me and Kevin Cooper would go
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
I had a counseling center.
Yeah.
I had homes for problems with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked myself this question, what am I doing? And, you know, what am I doing? Like, there's three people here on Sunday morning,
yeah.
you know? But I didn't realize, like, how God sees. And how God sees what will take place, that sometimes never despise the day of small things,
mm-hmm.
because what God will do. Today in Africa, based upon Jesus Christ and the ministry, not me, but Jesus Christ and the ministry and me being a part of the ministry, we have, 290 churches
right
in
now.
Africa
mm-hmm.
right now. And we have 3,000 Bible college students
yes.
and 16,000 people coming to church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's God.
Sure.
God did that. And he will reward you openly.
Mm.
He will reward you openly. And that can be part of it. So, and I'm not trying to use those figures to, you know, proclaim something about
no, not at all.
But I'm talking about what God can do.
Sure.
What God can do. Because will I be faithful when there's three people?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, somebody could have a large church of 20,000 people and be unfaithful and be operating contrary to the Bible
yep.
and even be like giving out messages that really are not biblically based. And somebody could have five people and be doing everything absolutely in accordance with the will of God through the Spirit of God, and their reward is fantastic
wow.
and way beyond the person with 20,000.
Yes. Again, heaven's going to be a surprise for a lot of people. And one of the areas I think where we're talking about it today is the Bema seat. Speak to me about the Bema seat a little bit. That's going to be a shock for some people.
Well, he says some will be ashamed.
Yes.
Okay? Some will be elevated. There'll be people who receive gold, mm-hmm. silver, and precious stones. And their praise will be from God. God will be saying thank you, and God will be rewarding them, and God will be with them, and God will edify them, and God will build them up. The other people, wood, hay, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they will be ashamed. You know what the word ashamed means? Aschunio mei. It means to shrink down.
Mm.
So in front of God, it would be like nothing took place, you know?
Mm.
And you know what? I would have reverence for the Bema seat. I think that's important. Pastor Stevens used to talk a lot about the Bema seat.
Yep.
Reverence for the Bema seat. You know, oh, we don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about what's going on down here right now.
Yep.
Yes, but yep. what's going on down here right now will have a result somewhere.
Yes.
Okay? It will have a result. The Bema seat is the judgment seat of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
The great white throne judgment is the judgment of the unbeliever.
Yes.
The Bema seat is the judgment of the believer. You say, well, we mean God's going to judge me. Well, the judgment is for rewards.
The judgment is to praise
what you've done in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and in the Spirit.
Amen. I like that. In Christ, by Christ, through Christ, and in the Spirit. I like that. And let's walk through those measures of judgment in 2 Corinthians 5. There's gold, which speaks of
divinity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's
in application. I know it doesn't say that.
Okay, okay.
You know, but when you trace through the Bible,
okay,
you will find that that's what gold really represents.
Yep. Then he mentions silver,
which is always speaks of redemption.
Okay.
God redeeming. There was gold and silver, there was trumpets, and then
precious stones.
Precious stones. That can relate to believers,
okay,
souls that are one.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about application.
Yes. Which is fine. About, which is where we are. And then we have wood.
Humanity.
Okay.
Burned up easily.
Easy.
We wood.
Got hay.
Burned up easily. Okay. That's the wood of humanity, the hay of human works.
Okay.
And
stubble. Okay. There we go. Take me
it's
to stubble.
It's all flesh. Stubble is flesh, that which is done in the flesh.
Okay.
It's just stubble. It's all burnt.
Wow.
It all gets burnt. Mm. In other words, like I said to one person one time, It was a funny thing. I said it. It was a funny way. I said, you're going to need a gas mask at the Bema seat. I said, because there's going to be so much smoke from the fire.
Because oh,
you have chosen. No, and they told me, I'm not doing anything with God.
Okay.
I'm saved. I don't have to do anything. I said, smoke is on its way. I said, smoke. I was going to make up a song about
there it. Is.
Smoke is on its way.
The BBC is going to be a smoke show for you. Okay.
Burnt up.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no smoke with gold, silver, and precious stones.
Yes.
You know?
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Miss Lynch, you're on the Grace Hour. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Shirley Lynch, and I love this subject. And it is. We run the race, and we fight the good fight of faith. And you know, it's a fight to open up the Bible. It's a fight to read the Word of God. And I just love this program because it's a great motivator. And I also want to say that my niece, June, is in heaven. For all of you that know her, she lived in Florida, and she was here. She had COPD, and she died Monday.
Oh.
And you talk about fighting the good fight of faith. She suffered. She suffered deeply, and she glorified Christ. And every word that she said, she would write me a letter, and she just said, God isn't finished with me yet.
Amen.
And she was just a great fighter and a great a soul winner, and she would tell everybody that came in front of her about Jesus. And, you know, it is. It's a fight. And my to the very end, my niece.
Right to the end.
She's in a glorious place now. Amen.
It's a great motivator because, you know what, we're going to get a crown, but we're going to give it to Jesus.
Amen.
And I love this program, so...
Thank you.
I love your subject.
Amen.
So anyway, I'm glad I'm on. I haven't been on in such a long time. Okay, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Shirley. Take care.
When the Indians, I have to be careful what I say here. When the Indians would capture somebody,
yes,
they would make them what they call run the gauntlet.
Yes, there was a gauntlet.
There was men on both sides with hatchets.
Yes.
Okay? And you have to run through. Now, if you stop to fight one of them, you might have a problem. You have to run and fight at the same time.
Mm.
You have to be fighting as you are running. I love this analogy here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27, and also seen in other portions of scriptures, that Christianity is a race and a fight. Some people don't like that kind of Christianity, you know, running a race. I remember there was one person I always disliked. When I wasn't saved, I disliked him because he always beat me in a race. Up to the grade 7, his name was David Slablowski.
You actually know his name.
I remember his name. and even he, I always would be second. And I said to myself, you got to do something to this person so he doesn't run anymore. And then he got transferred to another school, which was great. But racing, running a race, passing the baton.
Sure.
Isn't that part of it? Like, that's the relay race.
Sure.
Running a race. Paul is speaking about we're in a race, and you got to be in good condition. You don't run a race with combat boots on.
Sure.
You don't run a race with a heavy winter coat on.
Not these days.
You don't run a race with a 5-pound hat on top of your head or
it's a
backpack.
Crown.
No, you run a race. You have race gear on, right?
Yes, you dress for it.
You run a race. You're training to run the race. You're training, and it's years and years and months of training, especially for Olympic runners and people that run. Then a fight. See, nobody likes that thing called a fight. I had a problem when I was young. I liked fighting.
Really?
I was always looking for the biggest person to fight.
I would never get that from you.
I don't know what it was.
I wouldn't discern that about your life, not at all.
I know.
You're innocent.
I'm innocent. But fighting, running and fighting, Paul is likening the Christian life to a race and a fight. He said, we're going to be in a fight. Oh, I want to go to a church that's not under any kind of attack or any kind of ideas from the outside that something's wrong with them. I don't want to get in the middle of that. I want to be in a nice, peaceful place. Mm-hmm. I want to be in a place of peace. Yeah. You know what? A church that isn't running the race and fighting the fight, I think they're just operating in carnality for the most part, really. Because this Christianity is a race and a fight for the believer and for the Corinthian church. Yes. He's talking to the Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And they were what? They were weak. Mm-hmm. They were carnal. Mm-hmm. They were not walking with God. And he says, you have stepped out of the race and out of the fight. I pray, I said to my wife recently, I don't ever want to stop running or stop fighting. Mm-hmm. I want to run and fight to the end. I like what he said. He said it in 2 Timothy 4:7.
Yes.
I fought a good fight.
Yes.
I finished my race, my course. I kept the faith.
Yep.
That's how we want to go. We don't want to say, well, I did it for 30 or 40 years. Now it's time to retire.
Okay.
What the heck does retire mean anyway? I can never understand that when I hear people say, I can't wait to retire. I'm thinking like maybe the way I used to think of it is I got bad bald tires on my car. I need to retire them. I need to retire the car. Yeah. See? But not retire. Oh, somebody said to me recently, you're 70. I don't even know how old I am.
76.
Yeah. Already?
Almost.
No. Almost 76.
Yes.
If you count the 9 months, which I think we should because we believe that abortion is murder, the 9 months.
You got that in there. Good
I'm
job.
Over 70. I'm 76 plus. You know what? I don't think about retirement.
Yeah.
I don't think about, well, you know, you could have retired at 67 years old? Yeah. Good for you. You go retire and rot away. Okay. I'm not
going
to do that. I'm talking about Christianity, not your job.
Right.
You can retire from your job. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it could be very beneficial to the church.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of things in the Christian life. But retire from Christianity? You got to be kidding me.
Well, I think we walk with God and then God walks us home.
Yeah.
Question for you. This is a big one. I want to hit the program ends. Can I lose my rewards? Say I've been earning rewards. Can I lose rewards?
Suffer loss, right?
Okay.
Is that what 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15 says?
Mm-hmm.
Suffer loss. I don't get rewards.
Well, let's say that I'm earning rewards, and 1 Corinthians 9:27, I'm akadokimas.
I stop fighting.
Okay.
I stop running.
Mm.
There's no reward for anything from that point going.
Wow.
I really believe that if you are running the race and fighting the fight and you're motivated by God, that what you've done for 10 years, there'll be a reward.
Okay.
If you spend the next 10 doing nothing, there's no reward for that.
Okay, so you don't
really. That's what I think.
Okay, that's a great thought because that's a question a lot of believers have. Like, is the reward something that's the culmination of my entire life?
No.
Or is it a point where I've earned it and then because of bad choices toward the middle or the end of my life, I've done something to lose it?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah. It is a good question. I don't think that maybe there is a direct answer in the Bible.
Okay.
But it seems to me that what I've done in Christ would be given rewards.
Okay.
And I think that if I stopped walking with God, well, that's up to God. And I don't know what the circumstances behind all of those things. But I really believe that I would get rewards for what I've done.
Okay.
And that what I have not done for the last 10 years of my life, there just is no reward.
Let's read some comments if we got in from the Grace Hour write-ins. We have Pastor Ben Tawia.
Mm.
Great words on heaven and rewards. Teresa Adams smiles. Anna Pinkova says, yeah, Pastor Billy, I want the love of God to keep healing me so I can tell others about the love of God. Mr. Jeff says, Pastor Jeff says, amen on the book the Bible, One Book Man. I love that. Aretta, of course, our friend Aretta says, amen and amen. God bless you all for shepherding us. Christ Church, your rewards will be great in heaven. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday, Aretta. God bless you.
38, 39, or 40?
She's 38 for the first time, I'm guessing. Tess Flores says, we all need God to fill us overflowing with agape love all the time to be healed.
Who is that that said that?
Tess Flores is responding to Hannah. We need God to fill us to overflowing with agape love all the time to be healed physically and spiritually. Remain blessed. Marion says, dear Aretta, today is my grandson's birthday. So Marion's grandson and Aretta, happy birthday to all of you. God bless you and happy birthday on this great, great day on the Grace Hour.
What's the reward? You know what my reward was when it was my birthday?
What was that?
I wanted my mother to make an apple pie so I could eat the whole pie.
Wow.
At one sitting.
Did you share that? Oh, wow.
No sharing.
No
sharing. It was my birthday reward.
Okay. And in one sitting.
I don't do that now, though.
No, no.
Of course, unless somebody made a good apple pie with great crust. You got to see, the crust is so key.
That's true.
And my wife is amazing at that, you know. Maybe she's listening and she could make an apple
that's
pie.
That's an unashamed plug right
yeah,
there.
That's
yes.
A plug. She could reward me with an apple pie. Anyway, I love this subject.
Yes.
Because it's not spoken about, like you said, much.
Nope.
Not taught that often and whatnot. By the way, we have a Bible college class tonight that you're welcome to come to.
Okay.
It's free from 6:30 to 8:30.
Yes,
6:30
sir.
To 8:30. And the subject will be about God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
That the Father is the Word, the Son is the Word, and the Spirit is the Word.
Okay.
And their relationship to the Bible, to the Word of God. So the whole class tonight will be on the importance of the Word of God. In the beginning, eternal, was the Word, and the Word was with God, relationship, and the Word was God, identity and ability.
Well, that's
so
definitely
we have
connected
eternal
to rewards.
Relationship and identity and ability. And when you live by the Word, there will be rewards.
Amen for that. Amen for that. I like the fact that you really honed in our relationship with God in time is directly connected to rewards in heaven. And that
yes.
The rewards in heaven are really a spiritual evaluation that God does.
Yeah.
Right? For the believer specifically, because you said it right. At the Bema seat in 2 Corinthians 5, we will stand before God and we will connect with God. But then the unbeliever also at the great white throne judgment will also stand before
yes.
God. So they both will stand before God.
Yes.
And they both will be, you could use the word, rewarded for the life that they've lived on the earth. You could make that statement about the great white throne judgment is a rewards judgment, right?
Right. How about the three people that prayed and Pastor Stevens got called to the ministry?
Yep.
I think maybe their rewards will come at the culmination of time and when the ministry has come to its conclusion. You know? I really believe also, like say you started something in a country or you won a soul, and maybe that soul, you'll have a participation in the reward of what that soul does.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, some people say that's not very clear, but that's what I really think.
You could
say
David Brainerd. I mean, what did David Brainerd really do? And then beyond him, what happened?
Yes.
Tremendous.
What took place? Like Barnabas went and got Saul.
Yes.
When he was in Tarsus.
Yes.
And it brings him to Antioch. Barnabas has great rewards.
Yes.
You know?
That's amazing.
What time does this show end?
Right now.
Really?
Thank you.
You have your reward.
For joining us on the Grace Hour this week. It's been a great week talking about heaven and all the different things that are going to happen in heaven and what God has for us stored up when we face Jesus Christ. Join us this weekend at Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. as well as Wednesday next week at 7 p.m. at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd love to see you and spend some time with you in the Word. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we would encourage you today to consider a personal relationship with Him by faith. Thank you and God bless. Enjoy your weekend.